Let's turn to John chapter 10. More about sheep and shepherds. Israel's true leader versus the many false leaders. We come into this world far from God, ignorant, confused about the most basic and the most important things. It's natural for people to gravitate to those who have more knowledge or experiences in various areas of human endeavor. It is absolutely crucial to choose the right leaders, especially in the most important area of human endeavor, which is seeking God, religion. Good spiritual leaders bring blessings to us in this world, followed by eternal blessing in the world to come. Bad leaders, especially bad religious leaders, can be devastating to our life in this world and damning on the day of judgment. This part of John 10 follows the great miracle of the healing of the man who was born blind and continues Yeshua's interaction with some of the religious leaders of the chosen people. Most of them had already decided that Yeshua was a false prophet, and they wanted to kill the young rabbi from Nazareth. They wanted the Jewish people to follow them, not Yeshua. A true friend will confront you when you are wrong or heading in a dangerous direction. Deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. For his part, Yeshua was a friend to these men, even though they were out to get him. And so he warned them, again, using an illustration from sheep and shepherding, that they were very wrong and needed to reconsider their thinking about him and their thinking about themselves. John organized his book using the Jewish holidays. This next part takes place at Hanukkah. It's another confrontation between Yeshua and some of the Jewish leaders. Then came the holiday of dedication. And the word Hanukkah means dedication. So then came the holiday of Hanukkah at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Yeshua was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jewish leaders who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly." You know, fallen human nature is funny when it comes to truth. If you don't get the answer you want the first time, ignore the answer and try again later. Maybe the answer will change to the one that you want. But when it comes to the truth about Yeshua, the answer will never change. Yeshua answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe." At various times and in various ways, Yeshua had been telling the nation of Israel, particularly the leaders, that he was the long-awaited Mashiach, God's anointed one, the ultimate prophet, priest, king, savior, and that he was the Son of God. He had consistently been telling the Jewish leaders that he was the Messiah. Even though he had already told them who he is, he graciously told them once again. And he gave them some evidence to help them believe that he is the Messiah. He said, "The works I do in my Father's name testify about me." Ordinary human beings do not do miracles. Normally, God will only allow someone who is very close to him to do a miracle. And even among the chosen people, only a few prophets in Israel's long history ever were allowed to do a miracle. Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha, and a few others. Yeshua's miracles exceeded them all. He turned water into wine. He healed many who were sick. He healed the son of a royal official. He healed a centurion's servant, Peter's mother-in-law, a man who was an invalid and a man who was paralyzed, two men who were blind, another man who was born blind. He restored the sight of Bartimaeus. He healed a man who was unable to speak. He healed a man's withered hand. He healed a woman who had been sick for 12 years. He healed the ear that was cut off from the servant of the high priest. He healed those who had leprosy. He removed evil spirits from many. He sent an army of demons into a herd of pigs. He withered a fig tree. He was involved in two miraculous catches of fish. He was involved in catching a fish that paid the temple tax. He fed 5,000 from a few loaves of bread and some fish. On another occasion, he fed 4,000 from a few loaves of bread and some fish. He stilled the winds and waves with a word. He walked on water. He raised the son of a woman in Nain from the dead. He raised the daughter of Jair back to life. He raised Lazarus from the dead, and then he himself was raised from the dead. The miracles of Yeshua are real. They really happen. They are unprecedented in number and in greatness. They let the world know that Yeshua has God's approval. And he is who he claimed to be, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, and the Son of God. If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name, with my Father's blessing, approval, and authority, testify about me. So why couldn't the leaders of the chosen people, the men who should have known God the best and understood the most about spiritual things, why couldn't they recognize the Messiah when he came and did so many miracles? Yeshua knew the answer. They were not really part of God's people. Only a remnant, a minority of human beings, are God's people. Only a remnant, a small minority, even within the special chosen nation of Israel, are truly God's chosen ones. Not all Israel are Israel. Only those who are truly God's people have a nature that is in sync with God and know God the Father and are able to know the Son of God. Only those who are truly God's people can recognize that Yeshua is the legitimate leader of God's people. So Yeshua said to these leaders, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep." These men, even though they were the religious leaders of Israel and knew a lot about God and a lot about the Bible, were far from God and did not belong to the Messiah, Israel's true leader. "You do not believe because you are not my sheep." Just as parents know their children and children know their parents, masters know their dogs and dogs know their masters, shepherds know their sheep and sheep know their shepherds, the Messiah knows the people who belong to him and they know the Messiah. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them They follow me. Yeshua is telling us that there is to be, there will be a sense of closeness, connectedness, a sense of personal, intimate relationship and fellowship between Yeshua and each one of his followers that enables them to be aware of him and what he is saying to them. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. Christianity, Messianic Judaism, it's more than knowing the right teachings, good doctrine, sound theology. The right teachings, good doctrine, sound theology are necessary, but it must be accompanied by a sense of knowing and sharing and communication and intimacy between us and the Son of God. I hope you understand that. And I hope you have that. There is something within us that wants to be part of the inner circle, close to the source of knowledge and power. Do you ever feel that? Being part of the inner circle, close to the source of power, makes us feel important, because so often we don't feel important. Makes us feel good about ourselves, because so often we do not feel good about ourselves. One of the things that makes Yeshua the best leader is that he is the source of power for the whole universe, and he is accessible to each one of his people. Each one of us has direct access who is the one who is the source of knowledge and power. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They know me. They follow me. Direct access to the one who is the source of wisdom and power over the entire universe. How cool is that? And there's more. Leaders, good leaders, provide for the needs of their people. Yeshua is a good leader because he provides his followers with life and with protection. And not just any kind of life and any kind of protection, the best kind of life and the best kind of protection. He said, I give them, my followers, my disciples, eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Yeshua is the Son of God. He has eternal life within himself. And out of that eternal life within himself, he gives eternal life to his followers. And then he protects them and that eternal life that he has given to them so that they never perish. And who is more powerful than the Son of God, who created the universe and everything in it, who sustains the universe and everything in it, is the Lord of the universe and everything in it? Who can snatch us out of the hand of the Son of God? A fallen angel, a fallen man, a fallen woman. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And there's more. Good leaders will often have good allies. Our leader has the most powerful ally of all. It's not just the Son of God who is protecting his followers. So is his great ally. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. several things to note. The Father and the Son are distinct and separate persons. The Son is not the Father. God the Father is not the Son. They are distinct persons, separate. But at the same time, they are one. One in purpose. The Father and the Son share the same goals, in this case, the protection of the followers of Messiah. They are one in purpose, and they are one in nature. They share the same divine nature. They share the same divine spirit. The Father and the Son are distinct persons who are united in purpose, united in nature, united in spirit, but God the Father is greater than God the Son in authority. My Father is greater than all, including himself. God the Father is supreme in authority. The Father, the High King of heaven, sits on the main throne of heaven. The Son of God, King Yeshua, sits on another throne at the right hand of God the Father. No one, not even King Messiah, the Son of the High King, has the authority that God the Father has. My Father is greater than all. And the one who is greater than all, supremely authoritative over every force, every creature, every principality and power, is allied with the Son, protecting those human beings that belong to the Son, making sure that the eternal life that the Son has given them at the moment of salvation will never be taken from those human beings. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. That should make you feel good. That should make you feel safe, secure, and hopeful. Another thought, my Father has given them, my followers, my disciples, to me. Yeshua is teaching us that God the Father gives some human beings, but not all human beings, to Yeshua. Those special ones, chosen before the world began, are a precious gift given from God the Father to God the Son. They're a very precious gift. Because they are made in the image of God, they are inherently valuable, tremendously precious, of great worth. Flawed though they are right now, they are nevertheless a priceless treasure. They have been chosen. They have been redeemed. They have become the beloved sons and daughters of God, the eternal friends and companions of the great Creator God. This is who you are if you belong to Messiah. This is your identity. Knowing this should give you a sense of worth, of value. It should make you feel good about yourself, that you are a precious gift from God the Father given to God the Son. When you love someone, you want to give the one you love gifts. Giving gifts is one way that love expresses itself. The Father loves the Son and has given to the Son the most precious things the Father possesses. Us. These statements that Yeshua made were true, they were powerful, and they were courageous. The Jewish leaders to whom these statements were given had already decided to kill the young rabbi from Nazareth. It took tremendous courage Hanukkah kind of courage, Maccabee kind of courage, for Yeshua to go into this lion's den, to the capital, to Jerusalem, to the temple, which was the center of power of the Jewish leaders, and declare these truths to them. These statements were true, they were powerful, they were bold, they were courageous. After hearing Yeshua make these claims about himself and criticize them, these leaders were infuriated. Their desire to kill Yeshua was instantly reignited. John tells us again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. They were about to kill him on the spot. Now, under Jewish law, if someone was thought to be guilty of a crime, charges needed to be brought against him, and there had to be a fair trial. The accused had to be found guilty of committing a crime and had the right to defend himself and a right to a fair trial. Yeshua tried to prevent these leaders from violating this process and killing an innocent man and thereby sinning even more. Yeshua tried to defuse the situation. He tried to reason with them. He responded to their desire to kill him with a question designed to help them re-examine their erroneous thoughts about him. Yeshua said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" Now, obviously, we don't kill people for doing good works, good deeds that God has empowered them to do. Yeshua was trying to help them see that their decision to stone him was inconsistent with the truth. He was trying to help them see that he had not done anything wrong. He had not sinned against anyone. He had not hurt anyone. He had only done good things that God authorized him to do and empowered him to do. Therefore, they had no right to kill him. "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" They had no right to kill him. They disagreed. They knew Yeshua had done something so wrong that it was right to kill him then and there. "We are not stoning you for any good work," they replied, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." And in one way, they were right. They were partially right. Yeshua's statements were claims that he is God. Not God the Father, but God in the sense of deity. Divinity, that he was Emmanuel, God with us. "You, a mere man, claim to be God." Again, what were those claims? He claimed that he's the Messiah, that God was empowering him to do miracles, which proved that he's the Messiah, that he's the true, rightful, legitimate leader of the Jewish people. That it was right that more and more Jewish people were recognizing his leadership. That God the Father is the one who gave him his followers. That he is able to give his followers eternal life. That he is the second greatest power in the universe and able to protect the eternal life that he gives his disciples. That God the Father is his great ally and is working with him to protect the eternal life of his followers. That God is his Father and he is God's unique Son. That God the Father and Yeshua the Son are one, united in purpose and united in nature. The Jewish leaders were partially right. Yeshua was claiming to be God in the sense of deity, divinity. But they were wrong that his claims were blasphemy. Lies that were dishonoring to God. So again, he tried to reason with them. arguing that it was not a crime for him to claim to be the Son of God. Yeshua answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods'?" Elohim. This is a quote from Psalm 82. The gods referred to here were human leaders. These leaders were powerful men who were strong, mighty, which is the root idea of Elohim in Hebrew. Might, strength, power. If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Here's Yeshua's argument. If leaders like the ones referred to in Psalm 82 can be called Elohim, gods, and they were flawed human beings, can't Yeshua rightfully claim to be the Son of God? Especially since he is a perfect, sinless human being and the unique Son of God sent by God the Father on a great mission to save the Elohim, people who were unrighteous sinners. The answer, of course, is yes. Yeshua had the right to claim to be deity, to call himself the very special Son of God. If the leaders mentioned in Psalm 82 could be called Elohim, God, gods, Yeshua has the right to claim to be the Son of God. Yeshua made two other extremely important points here in his argument, something we must be aware of, teachings which must be at the very core of our faith, what we believe. The Bible is the Word of God. Every word of the Word of God, every word of the Bible is true and accurate and reliable. Psalm 82 records what God said to human beings. He, God the Father, called them, flawed human beings, gods, to whom the Word of God came, and Scripture cannot be set aside. God the Father called sinful human beings Elohim, gods. Yeshua tells us that what God said to them is the Word of God, to whom the Word of God came. Yeshua acknowledged those words from Psalm 82 as being the Word of God. It's not just those words in Psalm 82 that are the Word of God. The entire Bible is the Word of God. It is Scripture, holy writing. And every word of Scripture is a divinely inspired word of God, accurate, true, trustworthy, reliable, and cannot be set aside. Scripture cannot be set aside. These are the words of Yeshua. How do we know that every word of Scripture is true, reliable, accurate, faithful, and cannot be set aside? Yeshua based his argument here on one word, Elohim, and that Elohim was applied to fallen human beings. They could rightfully be called Elohim, gods. Therefore, he had the right to call himself the Son of God. Yeshua's argument here is based on one word, Elohim. The Son of God is telling us that we do not have the right to set aside even one word in the Holy Scriptures. Every word is true, accurate, reliable, divinely inspired. We do not have the right to say, you know, I don't think it's right to call human beings Elohim. That doesn't line up with my theology. It must be a mistake. I'm going to set that aside. I'm going to ignore that because I don't like it. I don't agree with it. No, 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 no. Yeshua is teaching us something absolutely crucial, something extremely important that we must believe about the Bible, the Scriptures, the Holy Writings. That Scripture, not just the Bible as a whole, but each and every individual word of Scripture is accurate, true, divinely inspired, reliable, trustworthy, infallible. Not one word of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation can be ignored, dismissed, considered to be erroneous, and set aside. Do you understand this? Again, Yeshua appealed to them to reconsider their erroneous thinking about him. Actions speak louder than words. God had allowed Yeshua, empowered Yeshua to do miracles. Yeshua's miracles, unprecedented in number and greatness, were evidence that Yeshua is who he claimed to be, the Messiah and the Son of God, approved by God, very close to God. Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you don't believe me, believe the works, that you may know, that you may understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. My miracles are evidence that I am close to God, approved by God, have the blessing and approval of God. Yeshua's reasons, his arguments, his appeals all fell on deaf ears. Again, they tried to seize him. Seize him, arrest him, execute him. That was their desire. But he escaped their grasp. It wasn't time for Yeshua to die. It was God's plan for the Messiah to die, but not on Hanukkah, on another Jewish holiday, Passover. And so God protected him from those who were trying to kill him this particular Hanukkah. And we will be protected, too, from dying a moment too soon. Now, in contrast to the unbelief, the rejection of the leaders was the good response from the ordinary common Jewish people. John informed us that Yeshua left Jerusalem. He headed east to the Jordan River, to the place where John the Baptist had impacted so many. Then Yeshua went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a sign, a miracle, all that John said about this man was true. And what had John said about this man, about Yeshua? John, the greatest man who ever lived, who was filled with the Spirit of God before he was born, who, although he did no miracles, was a prophet and more than a prophet, who was the very special forerunner of the Messiah, John testified that Yeshua was the Son of God who came from heaven, that he was loved by God the Father in the most special way, that Yeshua is the Messiah to whom God the Father gave the Spirit without limit, that Yeshua spoke the words of God, that the Father has placed all things for all time under the authority of Yeshua. This is what John said about Yeshua. John had made a tremendous impact on the Jewish nation. Many of the people believed in John, especially those who were not leaders. And they remembered what John said about Yeshua. But now they were believing for themselves, because of their own knowledge, their own experience with Yeshua, that everything that John said about Yeshua was true. And in that place, many believed in Yeshua. The Jewish leaders were wrong. The ordinary people, the common people, the non-leaders, more and more of them were right. Never think that leaders are always smarter than you are. Political leaders or religious leaders. Yeshua's claims about himself, his criticisms of the leaders, his increasing popularity, his growing influence will intensify the murderous intentions of the leaders even more. It's all building to a great climax until they arrest him and kill him on Passover.